I did say that, I think in an email to everybody, that we'd be having a look at just a few minutes anyway before we actually have play the main message, which will be from Mr. Armstrong today. I would like to just make a few comments, if I can, about what's going on over in Modesto. I know that a few months ago we went to meet with a group of people, and in that group of people a split had actually occurred. And almost to break the ice, I asked one of the people there, or both of them actually that were there, I asked them a question about this, and about 2 hours later he was still going. He was still explaining all the ins and outs of what had actually occurred when an individual, a minister, had actually left. Now, I didn't expect that, I didn't want that, that's not the reason for asking the question. It was just a case that I needed to really break the ice with them. I wanted to find out a little bit, I wanted to find the heart and core, what was the problem between themselves and this other individual. And yet it didn't come out, but I got every single twist and turn imaginable of the sequence of events and who said what to whom and so on. And I think often in cases like this, you can get all these kind of twists and turns and everything else thrown at us. And within that, we can't really sort out really what's going on. We don't need to know all the twists and turns. We don't need to know every single thing that's ever gone on. We're not privy to everything that's gone on anyway. So as we do look at the situation that's happening over in Modesto, or anywhere else for that matter, wherever two groups or a group has a number of people leave, there's only really one question that needs to be asked, and there's only one. And any of us that look at a situation or find ourselves in that situation only have to ask that one question, and that is, where is the government of God? Because that's what it's all about. If we are the people of God, we've got to remain under that government. And it's not a government like say the Catholic Church, where you know you just shut up, behave and nothing else. It's the way of God. That's what Mr. Armstrong actually said. If I can just read what he actually said, I've read this several times before, but if I can read it again from The Incredible Human Potential, check it yourself certainly in your own time. But over in page 162, going into page 163, Mr. Armstrong says, God's purpose in having created and put humans on earth, and that's really a good starting point, because we want to get to the heart and core of issues. The purpose of God putting us here in the first place was to develop in them God's own holy and righteous character. God wants a people who will reject and overcome Satan's way of life. And the world as a whole follows that way of life. And so often we do as well, unfortunately, but we've got to repent from that and turn. So, we overcome Satan's way of life and turn to the government of God, which is God's way of life. And really, I think that quotation from The Incredible Human Potential says it all. It's a case, where is the government of God? Because within that government, if we subject ourselves to that government, we will learn God's way of life. And if we're learning God's way of life, we are God's people. Now, in this particular situation that we see, the actual events themselves you're probably aware of already, but Mr. O'Malley was disfellowshipped. He was told to have everybody come up from Fresno, and he basically didn't. He refused to do so, and he actually held the service in Fresno, which was against Mr. Billings's orders, and he disfellowshipped him. Now, Mr. Malley claims, and so does Wayne Carson, and so does Steve LeBlanc, that was, there's reasons why Mr. O'Malley did that. And Wayne Carson then went down and spoke in Fresno, and then later on this week, Mr. Steve LeBlanc also decided that he wasn't going to go with Mr. Billingsley. And because the four individuals, Mr. Billingsley and those other three elders, they actually were the board. Mr. Billingsley could see that if the three of them decided to go, he would be literally left at the sidelines. So he put together another. I don't know what the legal technicalities are out in the States, but he formed the Church of God, the Faithful Flock, and he registered that name. He was not intending to go with that name, but he registered it. What then happened, once the three of them had in fact made the decision together, the checks, the signing of the checks by Mr. Billingsley, that was stopped at the bank. They went and stopped the bank from allowing that to be happening. The post office box key was taken from the person who was entrusted with it. The website, the passwords have been changed on the website, and so that's been taken over. And Mr. LeBlanc is apparently going over to Wagoner and has been contacting people over there. So it has been a pretty messy business. But that question, where is the government of God? It's such a simple thing. And that is the trunk of the tree. Now, if Mr. Billingsley has moved, in other words, if he has moved from under that government, because the government of God does not come down just pure hierarchy, it comes down from God himself. And if Mr. Billingsley has moved from that and remains moved and will not change, and that's the way, in fact, it happened with UCG, with David Hume, with Worldwide, we moved away from that because they had moved and they refused to return under the government of God, which was over them, that spiritual heritage that's over them. And Mr. Armstrong was an apostle, and yet they will not, they verbally adhere to that, yet they don't go ahead and understand and really appreciate what that means. So if Mr. Billingsley has moved in that way, then we need proof of that. And I spoke to Mr. LeBlanc for an hour before he made his final decision and half an hour after his final decision, and in none of that conversation did he give any information, as far as I was concerned, which would make me believe that that was the case. It just simply wasn't. And I therefore have got to conclude that the only other thing is that they have moved from under that government. So it's either one or the other. There's no grey area. It's either one or the other. The government of God is very clear. It's the way of God. If Mr. Billingsley was following that way and failing at times, yes, but going back, picking himself up, repenting before God, and going back to that way, he remains that authority. And if he doesn't, then we need to make sure we understand why and where he refuses to submit to that authority. If we just turn over to Hebrews 13. Hebrews chapter 13. So I thought I'd just say that, because that is the heart and core of the entire issue, is where is the government of God? And if Mr. Billingsley has moved, we need proof, and we need absolutely crystal clear proof. And it's not something that's done overnight. It's something that really builds up over a great deal of time, and is very clear. But in Hebrews chapter 13, it says, verse 7, it says, remember those which have the rule over you. And Mr. Billingsley did have the rule over the Modesto church, including the elders there, who have spoken to you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conduct. In other words, you do check that they are walking in the right way. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, forever. That's why we go back to that spiritual heritage. Mr. Armstrong was reflecting the leadership of the very Spirit of God, and Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And having seen that leadership, we need to then look for that same leadership. You know, the sheep do understand and hear his voice. And you're looking for that same leadership. And if that leadership, okay, the leadership may well fall flat on their face and have to pick themselves up and repent. All of us have to do that. Mr. Armstrong had to do that. But it still remains the same. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried about with different and strange doctrines or strange teachings. For it's a good thing that the heart be established with grace. And I think I gave that Bible study it was, on growing in grace, and showing that it's the grace that's delivered to us that we grow in. It's what has actually been given to us. We don't go outside that. As it says here, not with meats, not with spiritual foods, which have not profited those that have been occupied therein. So we have in fact to look to make sure that this is that same voice that we heard all those that time ago. And although there are problems, perhaps, it is still that same voice that's there. And if you go over to verse 17, it says, "Obey those that have the rule over you. Submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." The structure in the church is not a hierarchy for hierarchy's sake. It is offices within the church, so that the people of God can, in fact, become teachers that they need to be. And it's got to be that those teachers remain under the government of God themselves. But as long as they do, then that structure has got to be there. As it says, obey them that have the rule over you, submit yourselves. And that is part and parcel of the way of God. Look over in Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3. Because we find here in Philippians 3, Paul. Now Paul, we know, was under that government of God. We know he was. He was walking in the right way, right the way through to his death. And he strove to do what God wanted him to do. And he communicated that to those people who were under him, who were in his care. And in Philippians 3 verse 13, it says, "Brethren, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind, and reaching forth for those things that are before, I press towards the mark, I strive towards the mark, for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ." So, he hasn't achieved it. It's not a case that whoever is in authority, which Paul was, must be perfect. But you've got to see them going in the direction. The direction must be according to God's way. And where he fails, there is repentance, and they then return to that way. And nothing that I have seen in all of this situation in Modesto, in actually discussing these things with Mr. LeBlanc, who in fact has gone that way with them, nothing, no evidence has been given to the contrary, as far as I can see. And it says, "Let us therefore, as many as be mature," or perfect as it says here, "be thus minded." So we've got to all be the same kind of mind, that we do in fact pick ourselves up and keep going in that way. "And if in any other thing, if in anything you be otherwise minded, God will reveal even this to you." In other words, if you don't quite get it yet, if you just don't get it, as Mr. Armstrong continually used to really say to the ministry, that they just don't get it, then God will reveal it. And it may be that these three people, these three elders, and the people with them, may need to leave for a while, until certain lessons are learnt or whatever. You know, whatever God is doing, I don't know. But I know that I look at that fundamental question, where is the government of God? And I look at the way in which Mr. Billingsley has conducted himself. And as far, he's not been perfect, but as far as I can tell, he is still on track. He has not left track. And he doesn't say to me, when I ask him, you know, "Are you going to be under the spiritual heritage that came from Mr. Herbert Armstrong?" There's no question of that. No question. And when he sees that he's off track, he will repent and go back to it. So he remains under that. If we turn over to 2 Thessalonians, we find a specific example over in 2 Thessalonians, where Paul gives some instructions. It's a very similar, in many ways, to what actually happened down in Fresno. Because in chapter 3 of 2 Thessalonians, Paul says, he says now in verse 6, he says, "Now we command you, brethren," and notice this was a command from Paul, and it's because he was the one to whom they looked, who was actually, if you like, in that chain of the authority of God, coming down from God. It was going through Paul. "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourself from every brother that walks disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. Now, this wasn't necessarily going back into the Old Testament and going and giving a command or using the commandments. It was part of the traditions. For yourselves know how you ought to follow us. For we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for nothing, but we worked with labor and worked night and day that we may not be chargeable to any of you. So they went out and they worked so that they weren't chargeable in the early years of the church there. Not because we haven't power. In other words, they could in fact have said, look, we have the right for the tithes. But it almost appeared that the tithes were going still to the Jewish authorities and the temple and the Levites. It wasn't until Hebrews was actually written and the temple was destroyed that many of the tithes would then start going to the order of Melchizedek. But that's another subject entirely. But because we have not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example for you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any wouldn't work, neither should he eat. Some people were obviously going around the area sponging. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, not working at all, but are busybodies. This was the problem that was being addressed by Paul here. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that they with quietness they work and they eat their own food. So they go out and work and they have the money for them, you know, to go out and buy food for themselves. They don't sponge off others. But you, brethren, don't be weary in well-doing. And if any man does not obey our word by this letter, by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Now, a letter, an email actually went down to Mr. O'Malley and told him that we need to have Fresno up at Modesto. And that was the epistle, if you want to put it that way. And he refused. And it says here, and if any man obey not our word by this email, know that man, don't have company with him, that he may be ashamed, yet don't count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. And that initially was the case. He was disfellowshipped and admonished as a brother. Now, it goes from that, you go into another section, which you find at the end of Romans, where, and that would have been all there would have been to it. It would have been a case that he would have been, right, okay, we're not going to have company with this man until he shows repentance, and which would be fine, there's no problem. Let me just read a little bit from what Mr. Armstrong said in a sermon on the 4th of February 1984, about 2 years before his death. He addressed really what we need to do when there are others in the church who don't hold to the truth delivered to them. Now, that's what we found in Worldwide, we found it in United, we found it in David Hume. But it says here, it says, turn back to Romans, the last chapter of Romans, 16th chapter and verse 17. I'm quoting from Mr. Armstrong here, but by all means turn to it. Where Paul says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark those that cause divisions and offences contrary to the doctrine that you have learned, and avoid them. Now, this is the next stage up when there's divisions being caused. It says, different doctrines, they're causing division, they're causing trouble. That is what we did have in the past, and the reason that we had it is that we said, well, we must be more loving and kind and more good than God, and we must just leave them in amongst us. And God says, mark them and avoid them. Now, there are two ways that we can avoid them, and only two that I know. One is if we leave them in the church and we all go out, and we're no longer in the church, and the other is that we put them out and we stay in. Now, those are the two ways. That if there are people like this, that this is what actually happens. Now, brethren, I think we prefer to stay in, and so our choice is going to be to put them out. And that's what really happened. You know, if there's division, that has got to be taking place. And he then goes on and talks about how this was a problem in the past and how that's really what he was not going to allow to happen in the future. And I think it's interesting that the sermon that we're going to hear today, which is from our Bible study of Mr. Armstrong talking on 1 Corinthians, which was played last week in Modesto, has been removed off the website. of Church of God EIM. I think as you hear it today, maybe you'll understand why, or why that's been removed and replaced with a sermon by Mr. LeBlanc. The only other thing I wanted to really comment on really is why. I mean, why do we have this kind of thing? And if you turn over to Malachi, over in Malachi, we need to keep this big picture in mind. Remember what Mr. Armstrong said when in that quote that I read in the beginning. It says, God's purpose in having created and put humans on earth is to develop in them God's holy and righteous character. And the purpose of having us as in the church now, we are training to be teachers, to be rulers in the future. We have got to be able to judge and discern. And we ourselves have got to be able to discern righteously. We've got to be able to look at situations and cut through all the flack. We don't have to go through all the ins and outs and twists and turns over hours and hours of work. We need to say that one simple question: where is the government of God? And that's the way of God. And you need to determine and spiritually determine that. And every one of us has got to do that. Certainly in a situation like this, you've got to assess that situation. And don't be worried. If you can't see it, if you say, well, I'm looking and I cannot see the reason why, then fine, pray about it to God if you want to understand it fully. But that's the heart and core of the question. Where is the government of God? And as far as I'm concerned, at this present time, I say no evidence whatever that Mr. Billingsley has gone off track. Yes, he's made mistakes, but he's always repented of them. He's always been going back on track. But over here in Malachi, it's interesting, verse 13, it says, your words have been stout against me, says the Eternal. Yet you say, well, what have we spoken so much against you? You have said it's vain to serve God. What profit is it that we've kept his ordinance, that we've walked mournfully before the Eternal of hosts, that we've had to be placed ourselves beneath somebody who makes mistakes? We could put that in there, because quite frankly, that could be the case. And how we call the proud happy. Yet, yes, those that work wickedness are set up. Yes, those that tempt gods are even delivered. Then those that feared the Eternal spoke often one with another. The Eternal listened. He heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him. For those that feared the Eternal, it's the government of God. It's the government of God. And that thought upon his name, that trusting God. And remember, when we pray, Our Father, hallowed be your name, it's not just a case of, isn't your name wonderful? It's a case we are taking that name. That's the name that we aspire to. And we've got to make sure that our actions are in line with that, that we are walking in that way. And we're looking for the government of God that will allow us to continue to walk in that way. That's what it's all about. And they shall be mine, says the Eternal of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him. And this is the reason now. Then you shall return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves God and him that doesn't. That's why we have these things in the church. And we've got to be discerning. We've got to be able to cut through all the flack and get to the heart and core of the issue. And that heart and core is, where is the government of God? Where is that government flowing down through? Who is reflecting that? And if that person has not changed that reflection, to go against it is to go against that government. If he falls flat on his face, if he makes mistakes but is constantly picking himself up, our job is to support him and to help him if that is the case. It's only when they refuse, when they go aside, that he gives us any right whatsoever to move. Because in that case, the government of God isn't there. We've seen it in the past, but I do not see that this time. And that's the reason why I've given Mr. Billingsley support. Now, that I think, I hope it's helped to clarify some of these problems that are here.